following program is brought to you in living color.
To Homeland! Stop! In our country we have great tradition. Change glasses.
Change glasses.
To Homeland!
To Homeland.
Stop!
In our country, we have a custom. We always change glasses, too.
Now, everybody drink.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
People like this are a menace to decent society.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape in all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource for everything about the grape. And as you can tell, I have continued to cheer on all my favorite football teams, and I have a little frog in my throat today. So we might have a couple cracks and a couple bumps along the way, but you'll have to forgive me. It's always great to talk about wine, and I could not miss another session to sit here and talk with you and, of course, Badger Kent.
Well, of course. Got to do that.
We have a priority. So he's loving it. So I'm trying to behave and have my cough drops so that I can save my golden voice just for you.
So you have a little frog in your throat. You sounded like you'd been sipping some of that Chardonnay before we started here today.
No, it's Halls. It's all the mentholatum and all the wonderful Vicks.
I see.
Which,
I
by see. The way, really, really cuts into truly appreciating wine. Not only is it hard to drink and taste wine when you have a lot of Vicks on your throat and in your chest, but those around you don't want to sit near you and drink their wine either.
No.
Because they pick
leaves
up,
more for you.
They pick up their Chardonnay and they say, funny, this smells like eucalyptus. And I've never quite gotten eucalyptus off of Chardonnay. But the way I tell it, it's medicinal. And after we all know there's so many great benefits of wine, it can help stop cancer, it can help your heart, it can help your prostate, it can help your brain functions. See, Kent, I'm already a step ahead of you and you just don't know it.
Is that why you're so smart?
It is why I'm so smart, because I drink a lot. There was actually a recent study, and it came out in, I believe it was Time Magazine, talking about moderate drinkers do well, but it turns out that heavy drinkers actually live longer than non-drinkers.
I saw that study.
It was fascinating. There was a great cheer that went up all along family lines and friend lines when they realized that all of our friends who are healthy and ran marathons and ate vegetables and definitely abstained from drinking because it wasn't good for them, we all laughed because we know that we will live longer than they will and have a better life because of it.
They're going to be out of here tomorrow.
They are.
You'll still be around.
See, once again, I feel sorry for non-drinkers. When they wake up in the morning, that's the best they're going to feel all day. And heavy drinkers are going to have more mornings to wake up.
That's right.
There's hope for all of us.
How about that?
That just means that everybody out there who's drinking gets to listen to me longer.
Do you realize just several people just turned us off?
That's
these
quite all right.
They're crazy. They don't know what they're talking about.
No one would ever turn us off.
No.
All right. We are going to have an interesting show today because I did get a lot of emails and a lot of calls from some of you. Now, I love talking about wine. I love going into wine. I love answering wine questions. But it figures that the one thing I get all the emails and the phone calls on aren't about my wine recommendations, aren't about the wonderful chefs we have on the show or the great guest. It was how I was wrong about the SEC. Everyone arguing with me about football. You don't care about wine. You'll just go along with the flow on that. But no, the Pac-10 is better than the SEC, or the Big East is better than the SEC. Really? This is what you spend your time about. You're supposed to be focusing on the grape. However, it did lead me to an interesting thought process, and that's why we have today's guest. Our guest today is Steve Himoff. He is a blogger. He was actually the Wine Blog Award finalist, best writing on a wine blog. He has also worked for the Wine Spectator. He's the West Coast editor for the Wine Enthusiast. He's also written several books on wine. Well, he's going to help me investigate the story about bias and where bias fits into things. We're going to talk to Steve about how can an employed critic be truly objective. And it comes down to it, when it comes to a wine show, when it comes to a wine magazine, when it comes to the wine business, what is objectivity? When it comes to a football team, what is objectivity? I know what I love. I know what I want to postulate. SEC is the best division in the country. And so that is my opinion. Am I required to be objective on it? Kent, am I required to be objective on
I
an opinion?
I think you are. Because now, are you being paid under the table by anybody to be anything but?
Well, we could make the running joke that the SEC apparently pays everybody under the table, or go look at the front lines of everybody out there.
That's right.
But ultimately, I'm not being paid by a football association. I'm just postulating my opinion.
That's right.
Now, if my wine recommendations, if some kind winery mailed me a check every week, then yes, I couldn't accept it. I would need to be unbiased because I do give wine recommendations, and the wine recommendations, believe it or not, are based on my opinion. They're not based on any wineries saying something to me or visiting or giving any kind of perks, anything like that. Although Plump Jack does want to send some Chardonnay, I truly appreciate it as often as I do recommend your wine. So feel free to mail that in. But even then, it wouldn't really be objective. It would just be because I keep recommending their wine because I like it so much.
I'll give you a prime example. Leonard Maltin. You ever heard of Leonard Maltin?
I have not.
He's a film reviewer.
Okay.
And he reviewed for a long time, I guess he might still, films on Entertainment Tonight. Entertainment Tonight is owned and operated by Paramount Studios.
Ooh.
So I used to kind of wonder, when I hear Leonard reviewing a film that's been put out by Paramount Studios, is he telling us what he really thinks, or is he kind of fudging it for the company?
Well, you have to guess at something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, the Wine Crush is hosted by Performance Racing Network. Do I have to advocate NASCAR instead of SEC football? No, I don't. But still.
You would if we told you to. Sure.
Yeah.
If Doug marched down here right now and said, Laura, you've got to talk about, you know, a wine produced by a winemaker that's got ties to NASCAR. Sure, you'd have to dance. You're on that string.
No, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't do it?
Remember, I'm a contract employee, sweetheart.
Okay.
I am a contract employee. In fact, if it ever happens, I suggest you open the mic. Go open the mic and start taping because it's going to add to the outtakes.
Okay.
All right, but neither here nor there. But that's what we are going to try and investigate today, is talking about overall bias and how it affects the wine world, whether it's through labels, whether it's through ratings, whether it's through drinking. And it's really a fascinating subject because, once again, it goes back to what is bias and what is opinion. And I assume, like Ken was getting off, I need to have no bias when I give you my wine recommendations. And I don't. In the sense that no winery comes after me and says, can you recommend my wine? However, am I biased towards Chardonnay? Absolutely, I am. It has nothing to do with Chardonnay growers in America. It's just what I prefer. So when does it become the difference between opinion and bias? And how does that affect you and your buying decisions? And when you go into stores, what you should buy? Who can you trust? Who can you not trust? And we're going to kind of investigate that today. We're going to see, I don't know if there's any truth in advertising, but to make sure that you're aware of what a small world the wine business is and the influence that bias, unbiased, or unparalleled opinion can have on you. So I'm sure it's going to be a very entertaining show all the way around. Kent, wouldn't you agree?
I think it will be. It will be very enlightening and revealing.
You're going to get revealing?
No, not that way.
Okay, we're not looking for bias. All right, before we get rambling, we're going to take a small break, but when we return, we're going to have Steve join us to kick off the concept, can an employee critic be truly objective?
Follow host Laura Lawson on Twitter at Wine Crush Radio. This is The Wine Crush. Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, gold garage and pit passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current current status and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor. Or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Right now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Mr. Steve Hinoff. This man has done a little bit of everything in the wine business, from writing an amazing wine blog to working with just about every magazine you could name. Steve, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi, Laura. Thank you.
It is nice to have you on the show.
Nice to be back.
Congratulations, by the way, on the Wine Blog Awards, the finalist, best writing on a wine blog.
Thank you. It was a great experience.
That is truly something to master, because I got to give you credit. Even having a wine show and having a small blog myself, to be able to be that diligent and to keep up with it, I am truly in awe. So my hat's off to you.
If I had any kind of social life, I probably couldn't do it. But blogging has turned into my life, so.
But see, you get to drink wine while you're doing it, so it can't be that bad.
I don't think so, but maybe I'll try that.
All right, for our listeners, if you wouldn't mind, why don't you give our listeners a little bit of background on what you have done and how involved you are in the wine business before we get off on today's topic?
Oh, gosh. Well, I've written for two magazines. I wrote for Wine Spectator for about 4.5 years, and then for the last 17 or 18 years, I've been at Wine Enthusiast. I have a couple books on wine from the University of California Press. And I'm now 2 years and 4 months into my wine blog, which is stevehinoff.com.
Well, it's always great when you know it down to the science, 2 years and 4 months.
Well, because I, you know what, I was just writing about it because, as if I don't have enough writing already, I decided to do a memoir. I have no idea where that's going. I have no idea what I'm going to do with it. But I have about 105,000 words already, and I just got into the part where I started my blog, so I've really been thinking a lot about that.
Well, it is good that you can be so diligent. If I had to write my memoir, it would take so many bottles of wine by the time I got through. I don't think I'd remember writing, much less what had happened to me in the past.
I hear that.
Well, listen, something we are kind of focusing on today, having worked for the Wine Spectator and, of course, working for the Wine Enthusiast, you had written something, Can an Employed Critic Be Truly Objective? And
yeah,
that's a question a lot of our listeners have when they look at the ratings. And we talk ratings to death, whether it's the Advocate, whether it's Spectator, whether it's Parker, you know, what to believe, what to buy, what to trust. Tell our listeners what you think about being objective, and can someone who's having a check written to them be objective about
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I wrote in the blog, it depends on the organization. So I don't know really how it works anyplace else. But in fact, I'll read you a quote from the blog.
All right.
I wrote, quote, "Fortunately, this problem has not occurred at my magazine and is not likely to. My magazine gives me wide latitude to tell the truth as I see it. I'm sure some of my reviews make my publisher wince, but he understands and respects the importance of employing unbiased editors whose rectitude and incorruptibility in reviewing reflects well upon Wine Enthusiast magazine," end quote. And that really is the way that it is. You know, if I happen to be very lucky in that I can say, let's face it, some, you know, pretty mean things about some wines that may potentially advertise in the magazine. I don't know how else it works at other magazines. I couldn't tell you. I hope every magazine allows their critics latitude. But, you know, this whole thing arose because I had read in the New York Times that the newspaper in Cleveland, The Plain Dealer, had demoted their music critic because he kept bashing the Cleveland Orchestra and he was upsetting people, and so they wouldn't let him be their music critic anymore. And I thought that was really outrageous, because you would think that a magazine or a newspaper would hire a critic to tell the truth as he or she sees it, right?
Well, it's supposed to, it does say, as much as we hate it, you're a wine critic. It doesn't say you're a reviewer necessarily, but that's how people know it. You're a movie critic, you're a food critic, you're a wine critic, you're a restaurant critic.
Yeah, and so, you know, if readers have every expectation of believing that the critic that they're reading is telling the truth as he or she sees it, and, you know, without bias or influence from a publisher or an advertiser or anybody else, and if the reader can't believe that, then the critic and the publication has no credibility. And that's why the Cleveland Plain Dealer situation bothered me, you know, very much, because I thought, how can you hire this guy and say he's your music critic, and then you fire him because he's bashing the local orchestra, which is upsetting your publisher?
Well, that within itself makes absolutely no sense.
No,
now, listen, I know you can't speak to it because you haven't worked for other magazines, but do you think this can happen? Do you think the potential is that, hey, listen, Lawson Winery gave us a $100,000 check. You need to go easy on them?
Yeah, you're cutting out.
Are you there?
I'm here. Okay, go again.
Do you think that maybe, like, say the publisher comes to someone and say, Lawson Chardonnay just gave us a $100,000 check to advertise. Hey,
yeah,
don't say anything bad about their wines. Do you think it happens?
Oh, of course it does. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, a lot...
Let's get real. Of course it does. I could tell you the publications it happens at. I'm not going to name names.
Oh, come on. What's the fun in that?
No, there's no way.
Yes, I know. Trust me, we all try and stay unbiased to a point in the media.
No, I mean, there are certain wine or alcoholic beverage periodicals out there that are less than scrupulous. They are basically advertiser-driven, but they wear the mask or the camouflage of being a consumer magazine, but everybody knows they're not. And in this industry, everybody knows which ones are real and which ones are not real. And I believe and I trust that everybody knows that Wine Enthusiast is for real.
I would say everyone does know that. I would say everyone knows that one. That's not one that's bought and sold. And I think, I'd love to think on a national level that everybody knows the behind-the-scenes business of the wine industry, that they know that there's a give and take and that people know each other and it's a much smaller world than people believe it is. But do you think the average consumer realizes what a small world the wine world is?
Probably not. You know, blogging was really an eye-opener for me because it made me realize that I had been living in an ivory tower for many years, you know, that I was part of, a generation of print journalists, and it was basically from the top down, that we told consumers what was real, and they accepted what we said, and they had no way of speaking back to us, except, through an occasional letter to the editor or something like that. But with blogging, you put something up, and instantly you have dozens and dozens of comments and replies. And it made me realize that people really don't know how the industry works, behind the scenes, but they want to know. And the nice thing about, blogging, which is instantaneous, is that I can now explain to people how things really work, at least at my magazine. And, every time they tell me, well, we think that you're influenced by advertising, I can say, I'm really not. You know, you can think that, but here's reason A, B, C, D, and E why I'm not. And I can't prove it to you because you're going to believe anything that you want to believe. But, if you know me and you know that I'm an honest, credible, trustworthy person, then you have to believe me when I say that I'm not influenced by advertising. And so ultimately, I think you're just as good as, your word is as good as the people who know you and trust you.
It has to be, without a doubt. Well, Steve, as we bring this to a close, where can our listeners see your blog and where can they find out more about your magazine?
Well, they can see my blog at stevehymoff.com, which is all one word, S-T-E-V-E-H-E-I-M, like in Mary, O-F-F, like in Frank, .com. And they can find out all about Wine Enthusiast Magazine at www.winemag.com. That's also one word, W-I-N-E-M-A-G.com.
Well, Steve, thank you very much for being part of the crush today. Who knows, one day we'll give you a couple bottles of Chardonnay and see if we can make you name some names. But
sounds like a deal.
All right. Well, take care of yourself. We're going to take a small break here on the crush, but when we return, more of your calls and your emails.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
Tonight the bottle let me down.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. And that was an interesting segment. It's a shame we couldn't get him to name names. That would have been a lot of fun.
I bet if you put a couple of bottles in him, he'd start talking like a sailor.
Man, singing like a canary. That's I'm looking forward to. But Steve, thank you very much for being part of The Crush. It is always enlightening to hear someone who has been in the industry as long as I am and has the same bit of cynicism and jaded attitude.
But aren't you now just a little bit curious about who maybe he was going to name? Or do you know?
Oh, I know. I won't say I know with
100%,
but it goes back to what we said in that interview. No matter how many wines you see on the shelf, no matter how many different winemakers we interview, no matter how many different aspects of wine we talk to, the true wine industry in the business is very, very small. And everybody knows everybody, and everybody knows what's what in the business. Everyone can tell you a story how this magazine decided not to give them a good rating because of X. And then all of a sudden you see a full page ad somewhere and then, wow, look, the ratings went up. We all can put 2 and 2 together. You just have to know the lingo. It's just like any business. And it goes back to remembering that as much culture and as much history and as much romance surrounds wine, it's a business.
Yeah.
There are no two ways about it.
Do you know of anyone who has intentionally sunk a wine?
Yes, I do.
Really?
I know that for a fact. I know it's happened. I also know the flip side of it, someone that has raised a wine for the simple fact of being able to command high prices. Is it ethical? Absolutely not. Is it beneficial in the business sense of it? Perhaps. But it goes back to bias, and there is that fine line. I can be biased towards the University of Georgia football team. I can be biased towards Chardonnay. But when it comes to actually being objective, it's something I feel like I have to be. It's something I feel like anybody who is sitting in a position where they're giving the general public advice and trying to guide them and teach them, if you're going to teach the principles of lack of ethics when it comes to, oh, hey, I'm going to rate this wine so people go out and buy it, then there's absolutely no reason to read the magazine. There's absolutely no reason to read the show, listen to the show.
Yeah.
It just undermines everything that those of us who strive to have the general public not scared of wine, not be intimidated, it undermines all of us and waste our time. So I really don't like it when people get like that. So I was hoping Steve would get off on a tangent. But no such luck whatsoever. We do honestly want this show to be all about you, but I would love to hear y'all's opinion about bias and what you feel about it and what role it plays in your everyday wine purchasing or even in your everyday lives. Reach out to us, 877-4CRUSH1, or email me directly, Laura Lawson, LauraLawson, at winecrush.com. Keep in mind, these come straight to my phone. Love to give you answers. Love to give you responses. Even if you're sitting in a grocery store looking for a bottle of wine, feel free to pop my BlackBerry. Chances are it's going to be a lot more entertaining than whatever I'm doing at the second, like sitting here bantering with Kent. But yes, for those of you who don't want to be that interactive, check us out at winecrush.com. You can find everything for our links to our latest shows, to all of our wonderful guests, and of course, links to our guests that have been on the show in the past. So, good resource for you. And while you're there, feel free to drop us an email. And as long as we're on the topic of ratings, I do want to cover two emails I had gotten. And God knows I thought I had received every email about ratings or any kind of questions such as that. But I do have two that I will go ahead and reach out on. This comes from Karen in New York City. Karen's like, I read often these wine magazines, and they will say things like NYR. What does that mean, and can you explain that to me? NYR means not yet rated. And Karen, most likely when you are reading something like that is coming from the winery or it's coming from a local newspaper, because oftentimes it is to winery's advantage to be able to say we got a 94 at the Advocate, we got a 95 from Parker, or it can be to their detriment to say that we got a 76 from the Wine Spectator. So a lot of times, since so many people in this business do buy based on ratings, by putting NYR, not yet rated, it means that, hey, go ahead and buy the wine. We aren't going to tell you the rating. It may be a 96, it may be 81. But this way you know that we're not deceiving you and we're not passing off a bad wine. So NYR is not a bad thing. It's just a term in the industry, meaning that you have not seen a review on it and you don't know how well it's going to score. Always an interesting tack to take. Also, in conjunction with ratings, I have an email from Jason in Kentucky. Jason writes, there are several wines I like and wanted to do research on them and wanted to see how my palate lined up with some of my favorite reviewers, like you asked me to. But when I go on their websites, I can't find these wines to see if they've been rated. Why is that, and where can I find the true ratings? Well, understand this as well. Whether it's Robert Parker, whether it's Wine X, whether it's The Spectator, whether it's Food and Wine, whether it's even The Wine Crush, it's not like everybody mails us thousands of bottles of wine to try and to recommend. Certain wineries will make the decision to say, hey, I'm going to send my wine to Laura Lawson. I'm going to send her some wine, let her taste it, see if she'll recommend it on the show. On the flip side, they'll decide to call Robert Parker and say, hey, Robert, I'd like for you to come out the winery and sit and taste through the wines with me. It is the winery's option to submit to be rated. To the best of my knowledge, and anyone out there in media land can feel free to contradict me, I do not think that random, the big wine publications go out and pick wines off the shelf at random. I think they're usually submitted for rating, which always makes it interesting. Now, what's great about this is, say you have a great wine that you paid $6, $7, $8 for and you can't find a rating on, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It really isn't. Usually some of the inexpensive wines don't get submitted for ratings. On the flip side of it, a lot of the high-end wines. Now, it's a double-edged sword when you start talking high-end wines. If you're talking wines that are over $50 a bottle and you can't find press on, it leads you to believe one of two things. One, extraordinarily limited production, that they don't want to go ahead and have a run and have all their winery taken out if they actually get 100. On the flip side of it, it means, oh, I don't know, I'm not saying they're scared to be reviewed, but they'd rather just take their chances based on their name and based on their winemaker. So that's always been a question that interests me. On these high-end wines that don't have press behind them, whether it's from Parker, whether it's from Advocate, whether it's from the Enthusiast, Connoisseur's Guide, any of them, why do you not submit your wines? Why do you not want to have them delegated into a ratings? So that's a question we'll have to find somebody for another guest and ask them if they've never submitted why and what their answer is. Ken, would you submit your wine?
Probably not. Oh. I mean, you're just into all kinds. This is a scandalous show today.
Well, I'm a scandalous kind of person.
It is just destroying my whole viewpoint of how up and above board the wine industry is.
I'm here to shatter your illusions. Well, I'm sure you being in the radio business for so long, you know, certainly the radio business couldn't have any scandal involved.
We've got lots of skeletons in the closet around here.
See?
And I'm just talking this building.
That's terrifying. I don't want to know. In fact, I haven't seen a closet lately, so that does concern me.
Yeah.
All right. So when we're talking about bias and we're talking about questions, those are two that had come to mind that I wanted to address. We're going to take a small break right here, but when we return, we're going to cover bias in a whole different sense when it comes to wine.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch, increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts? American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. 800-793-2153. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win two suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus two round-trip airline tickets, four-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Mozartoasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you realize how impactful your kids' involvement in the arts can be.
They'll get better grades, make more friends, and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Wine Crush, I'm Laura Lawson, and today we're talking about bias in the wine business. Not deliberately, not enough to scare anyone. I'm sorry I scared Kent at the end of the last segment, but let's all be real. You have to know in any business there's going to be a little bit of give and take, no matter what. And here is a great example of this, a bias without bias being evident. There's an article in Wines and Vines, and it just came out this week, and it says, the hottest retail sales trend of 2010 for small to medium-sized wineries may be the rapid and sustained growth of the highest-priced domestic table wines, those at $20 or more per bottle. And the article goes on to talk about this is a great category. It saw over 21% of growth. And I think it's outstanding. When you sit there and you read an article like that, you say, wow, the wine industry's turned around. People are not going after the $2 chucks anymore. People are drinking in the $20 to $30 range. Life is good. The economy's back. Disposable income. Now, here's what's interesting. Is it goes on to mention the top 20 table wine brands that have actually grown in this time period. And for those of you who want to go check out the article, please do. But I am looking at the top 20 wineries, and I know for a fact that 18 of those top 20 wineries have been doing discounting in the market. I know that they're coming up on that time of year where they want to get their wines out. They're trying to get new vintages out. So as they're trying to roll through to the next vintage, these wines have been on sale on the market. So, yes, these wines are over $20, but some of them actually fall in the $30 to $40 category. They're just selling down in the $20 because they're on sale, they're on promotion. So, did the article mean to bias the whole concept of the $20 wine selling more? Absolutely not. It just accidentally happens, as it does accidentally happen from time to time. Right, Kent?
Another scandal.
Another scandal. But see, that's just it. It's not scandalous. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the article, and there's nothing wrong with their data. But there's bias there. And anytime you look at any kind of marketing, any kind of finance, my favorite are statistics. 17% of women prefer to look at Elvis Presley than Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
You don't know what the background was. You don't know how the questionnaires were written. You don't know how the numbers were skewed. I can take a set of numbers and make them look any way possible to whatever I'm trying to argue. I can take a set of facts and do the same thing.
That's why I never participate in surveys.
That's why
I just don't. Because I don't know what you're going to do with the numbers.
What, you think they're going to say Kent Bernhardt says?
No, it doesn't matter. I just don't want to be a part of a group of people used to draw an incorrect conclusion.
But what if they were drawing a correct conclusion?
Well, that would be nice, but you don't know.
But see, that's the very fact. And that's what's the heart and soul of what we're having fun with today. And I want to reiterate that. That's what we're doing, is having fun. Once again, wine media. Anytime you take the opportunity to read a wine magazine, to read a wine book, to listen to a wine show, to download a podcast, you are making an effort to learn more about wine. And that's really all we want to do, is we want everyone not to be intimidated, not to be scared, and not to feel like they've been taken advantage of or feel foolish when they're handed a wine list, a wine by the glass list, or going out to shop in their grocery stores.
So is there a magazine or a publication out there that's above board that you would consider to be the Bible of the wine industry?
I don't think there's a Bible, because it goes back to, if you would listen to my shows, all right, even if there were 10 critics who went through and rated wines, if they were getting paid or not getting paid, it also goes back to their palate. And we've talked about this on The Crush before. You know, for those of you who want to pay attention to ratings, for those of you who they mean a lot to, find somebody who has a palate that's like yours. Whether it's Matt Kramer, whether it's Robert Parker, whether it's the people at The Enthusiast, whether it's Steve with The Enthusiast, find someone who has a palate like yours and follow their high point ratings. And it's not going to matter whether they were biased or they're not, because you will have like profiles, you will have like palates, you will have things that you like in common. You might like the flavor of oak on Chardonnay. You might like the flavor of eucalyptus and Cabernet. So it really doesn't make a difference day in and day out, simply because if you follow that reviewer and you like what he suggests, who cares? Who cares if he got paid? Did you find a bottle of wine you liked? Yep.
There you go.
It makes no difference to you one way or the other. The fun, of course, is discussing, and, of course, making sure people realize that there is room for error and there is room to gauge things differently. So that is our attitude towards bias today. Well, Kent, as we are sitting here, I am tired of listening to myself and debating with you. Do we have a victim on the wine line?
We do. Beverly has been so patient today.
Beverly, welcome to the Wine Crush.
We're actually getting ready to go on vacation in a few weeks, and I wanted to go ahead and send some wines down to our resort, and didn't know if that was legal or if you were able to do that. If you are able to go ahead and ship wines, I was wanting to know how you went about doing that.
Beverly, you're a newcomer to the Wine Crush, because we have talked about this before. Beverly, with the way state laws work and the way the post office is and the way UPS can be and people wanting to sign for alcohol, it is very, very difficult in the sense to take a box to your post office and have them ship it, because they're going to ask what state, and then you're going to have to research the laws and see whether you can actually have the wine shipped or not shipped. My guess is, if you're looking to ship wine, that means you're getting on an airplane. And if you're getting on an airplane, here is the absolute best recommendation I can do for you. They make bottle shippers. And your local wine shop can hook you up with one, or a UPS store. And what you do is you get one of these 12-bottle shippers, and you take all your wonderful 12 bottles. My friends actually put 6 bottles of wine and 6 bottles of liquor in there, and they tape it up, and they take it with them to the airport. Because here's how this works. If you were to FedEx, UPS, or mail a case of wine, number one, they're going to ask you what's in it. Two, they'll ask you to insure it. Three, they'll ask you if it's glass. Then they're going to ask some adult signing it. Then you have a lot of money. In fact, by the time you get done FedExing a case of wine, it's going to run you $75 to $125 of wine, and then you have no guarantees with it. The best, coolest thing we have all learned to do is take these shippers, you tape them up, and you take them with you to the baggage check. As you walk up to the baggage check, the kind people behind the counter are going to say, "Is there glass in this?" You say yes. And then they will make you sign something that if it breaks, it's not their fault. And you check the bag. Now, the way the different airlines run, this winds up costing you every box $15, $25, or $35. So it's just like checking your luggage. You've wrapped it, you have this great styrofoam shipper, and you get off cheaper this way. Now, Beverly, you didn't mention if you're one of these clothes horses people that kind of have to bring 14 suitcases anyway. If so, it'll just blend in. But all of us have learned to pack rather light because we'd rather drink well than look good. We have our priorities. All right, we're going to take a small break, but when we get back, we're going to wrap up the concept of bias and see what you have to say about that.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Term life insurance. It can be a powerful way to protect your assets and your family. You work hard to earn and save your money to build a nest egg for the future. Don't let it get wiped out because you didn't plan ahead. Take the time now and make a small investment in $500,000 or more in quality term life insurance. Call the Term Lifeline and let us shop the best companies to give you the lowest rates. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. Ask about some of our 10 and 20-year fixed rate plans with guaranteed rates. Call the Term Lifeline right now for your free insurance quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. You owe it to yourself to protect your family and your assets. Make term life insurance part of that plan. Call the Term Lifeline right now. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
Let us wine and dine you. Visit GoPRN.com and enter the Sonoma Wine and Dine Sweepstakes. You could be the winner of a trip for two to Infineon Raceway for the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series race in June 2011. You'll also win 2 suite tickets, Gold Garage and Pit Passes to the race, plus 2 round-trip airline tickets, 4-night hotel accommodations, a helicopter ride to and from the track, transportation to and from the airport and for the wine tour, dinner in San Francisco, and $5,000 cash. For official rules and to enter, head to GoPRN.com and click on the banner.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max. Z-Max added to your oil and your gas tank can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chomping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-ya!
The Karate Glove chomps through anything. Just put it on and instantly chomp through wood, concrete, brick walls, trees, small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chomps things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Her name was written on the photograph. Right next to her red sunburned face.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Once again, a special thank you goes out to our guest today, Steve Himoff. Can an employed critic be truly objective? And I enjoyed talking with him, and I've enjoyed talking about you. And once again, scandalous show, yes or no. But I wanted to wait and do this at the end to make a point. The wine recommendations today. My white wine recommendation is Gras Sauvignon Blanc out of Napa. This is truly what a wonderful, hot summer day Sauvignon Blanc is supposed to taste like. Beautiful vineyard, beautiful view, has that great acidity, has great fruit, is balanced all the way around. Probably one of my top five favorite Sauvignon Blancs of all time. As far as my red, my recommendation is Jarvis Cabernet Franc. I wanted to go off the beaten path because I had this, and it was just like putting perfume licorice in my mouth. The wine was outstanding. It had some great rose petal characteristics to it, had some great tea to it. The wine was just overwhelming. For the record, Jarvis Cabernet Franc is also out of Napa Valley, and it's going to be a little bit more difficult to find. But for those of you wanting something that has great stand-up power to whatever you're cooking and a little more elegance, this is what you're looking for. So there are the wine recommendations for today, and I saved them for the end because I did want to reiterate this. Whether it's bias, whether it's opinion, whether it's a slanted viewpoint, whether it's ethical or unethical, understand number one, here at The Crush, it is always my opinion that goes into the wine recommendations. In fact, I've been made fun of before because I've done the same wine recommendation two or three times in a year. It's simply because I had picked up the bottle, had it again, and remembered how much I loved it. But regardless, if people and critics are biased when it comes to wine, I want to tell you again, drink what you like, not what you're told. If you find something you like, if you find a reviewer you like, then stick with their suggestions and stick with their recommendations. Because ultimately, when it comes down to it, you like to think it's your opinion that matters, not theirs. And if they tend to get off the beaten path, or all of a sudden your favorite critic or reviewer starts getting things you don't like, what does it cost you? Absolutely nothing. Change gears, find somebody else. Because by the time you've taken time to find a reviewer, you're going to have developed a palate of your own. And after all, when it comes down to it, the only thing you can trust is your own palate. And that's all that matters when it comes to making a wine selection. Well, thank you for joining us here at The Crush. I hope you've had as much fun here today as I have. As always, we are reminding you to sip socially, drink responsibly, drink what you like, not what you're told. But most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.